Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Hamilton. So Hamilton, I'm going to go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Dan, and hi to your audience. My name's Hamilton. I'm the co-founder and CEO of a company called U-Turn Health, and I am, well, it's a long story. Our company is based out of Texas. I happen to live in Scottsdale, Arizona, or like I like to say, on an American Airlines plane all the time.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start your company?
Oh my God, long story. So I've been in healthcare for about 35 years, a lot of different organizations. Was running a healthcare company out of Dallas called Heritage Health Solutions. And for full disclosure, I'm also a recovered alcoholic and addict. For 25, 30 years of my career, my life, I struggled with a lot of different things that Americans struggle with. You know, when I was a kid, they called it hyperactivity, and then it turned into stress and anxiety and all those things. And finally, 11 years ago, I came to terms with the fact that all those things were present, but the overlying issue was underneath all of that, I was an alcoholic and an addict. So I got sober 11 years ago. And Dan, I got sober, what I say is the traditional way, which I'm sure we'll get into, which is you raise your hand, you admit you have a problem, you go to treatment, you quit drinking for the rest of your life, and that's it. And that's what I did. The difference is I took a very unusual path. Most people, it takes a long journey and you go multiple times and there's multiple setbacks. I was one of those that I went. I never touched another drink again. My life got immediately better. But what I found through this journey was, and especially after meeting my co-founder, Rich Jones, was most people don't do that. And the way we treat this is really kind of asinine. And so we created U-Turn Health. Basically, what we found that there were three big gaps in the way we treat this stuff. And we thought that there needed to be something else added to the continuum. And that's what U-Turn Health is. So it's a behavioral health company that just takes a very different look and focus on the issues that we're trying to help people with.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, that's an incredible story. So can you just talk more about what specifically you do? Because you mentioned that you take a different avenue that a lot of, you know, other companies do. So can you just talk just more about that?
Yeah, the best way to explain it is to start with what the problem is. So I think you and your listeners probably know the pandemic has shined a light on this stuff that is like unlike anything we've ever seen. People are struggling. You know, a couple of years ago, people were wondering, am I going to have a job? My finances are down, now the economy. So it's kind of shined a light on this stuff. And when we looked at behavioral health, and I want to make this very clear, when I say behavioral health, I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about mental health. I'm talking about suicidal ideation. I'm talking about substance misuse and abuse, anything that affects your normal coping skills. So it's just an easier way of saying that. There's really three big gaps in the way we treat this. Gap number one is the number of people that get engaged. So if you look at all types of data, roundabout, it's around 10% of people in this company that are struggling will raise their hand and ask for help. So think about that for a second. We've all, whether it's us struggling or our family struggling, we've all struggled with stress, a lot of people with anxiety, depression, you name it, but only 10% will raise their hand and get help. And when you look at the data, the question is why? Why are only 10% of people getting help? Well, the truth of the matter is the way we treat it is very scary. So Dan, I'll give you an example. If you called me today and said after this and said, hey, I really appreciate you telling your story. I think I may have an issue with alcohol. What would I say to you? Traditionally, I would say, well, Dan, you're an alcoholic, which doesn't feel good. And then I'm like, look, it's pretty easy, dude. All you got to do is get rid of all your friends, quit drinking today, go to treatment for 6 weeks, and then come back and just enter right back into your life. And you, I can tell by you smiling, you're a normal guy and you're going to look at me and say, there's no way in hell I'm doing that. It's too scary. And then the criminal part in my mind is we then turn around and say, well, Dan, you're just in denial. Keep doing what you're doing. And eventually it will get so bad that you raise your hand and ask for help. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life, because your rock bottom might be death. And I can't treat you if you die. So we got to think of a different way to do it. The second big gap is the family. When I got sober, my wife and three daughters, they were losing their mind. They didn't understand the volatility. They didn't understand the ups and downs. Hell, I didn't even understand it. We know now if we can help the family in the beginning of this stuff, we can usually get to the individual and we can make everybody better. And then the biggest and the final gap is what I call engagement. Here's what we know. And unfortunately, Dan, a lot of what we've learned about this stuff comes from the movies, right? You have a movie, somebody's an alcoholic or somebody's struggling with bipolar disorder. They go to therapy, they go to treatment. You know, they have all this drama around it and then they get better. The real truth of this is if we can get people involved in something positive, it can be treatment, it can be something that betters their life, and we keep them engaged for 6 months or longer, most people get better. It's just the truth of the matter. The problem is with behavioral health, the adherence rates are abysmal. So let's look at it this way. If we have 1,000 people in a company that are struggling, only 100 of them are going to raise their hand and ask for help. If you get all 100 of them engaged in some type of successful treatment, 6 months later, only about 10 to 11% of them are actually still engaged in that positive behavior. So out of 1,000 people, you've only helped 11. That's what we live in today. And that's why the numbers never get any better. What U-Turn Help does is we engage individuals in a very different manner. We use a lot of technology. We've created this program. I call it Netflix for behavioral health. It's the largest collection of counselor-led, evidence-based videos on the planet, very much normalizing what we're talking about. And then we engage individuals with a peer support specialist or a peer coach, which is someone just like them who has lived through it that stays with them through this journey. So let's go back to the original conversation I had where you call me and you're like, hey, I'm struggling. Can you help me? And you go, but I'm not ready to quit drinking and I'm not going to treatment. Traditionalists would say, just tell Dan he's in denial, wait till he's ready. What we would say is our response to you would be cool. No one said you had to quit drinking. No one said you had to go to treatment, but let's just start talking about it. Obviously something's going on. What circumstances are you dealing with and how can I be there to support you? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, you know, in terms of the way that you're working with people, it seems to be like you're focused on everything, right? It's not just the action that they're doing, but like setting them up for success, right? And I think that's the most important thing, because to your point, right, it's like it's not true success as if they go through like the program and they end up relapsing and then just, you know, forgetting that it even happened. But it's really true success if you have a mentor, if you have activities that, so, you know, someone else is doing instead. I think it's like make sure that they're doing all those things to ensure that they're in a good position going forward.
That's right. And let me explain it to you this way. If I wanted to make you into a fitness model, and I said, all right, you came to me and you go, I 6 months, I want to be on stage as a fitness model. All right, I could do it one or two ways. I could give you a gym membership, I could give you a workout plan, and I could give you a nutritional plan, and I could hand it to you and I can say, Dan, good luck, go at it. Your likelihood of succeeding in that, maybe 10 to 15%. Now, what happens if I say, I'm in, I'm gonna do this with you, and every morning at 5 a.m., I ring your doorbell and I don't leave until you get your ass out of bed and I get you a cup of coffee and I grab you and I put you in my car and I drive to the gym and I work out with you for two hours. And then I make your breakfast and make your lunch and dinner for the rest of the day. And I do that every single day for 6 months. The likelihood of you succeeding is much better. The problem is in behavioral health is we always leave it up to the individual. And I always make this comment, you know, if you believe mental health and addiction, you can either call it a brain disorder. It depends how you think about it. It's either a brain disorder, or at least I think you could acknowledge that the person that is using drugs or struggling with mental health, their brain's not working properly. Does it make any rational sense to leave it up to them to do the right thing? No, it's, you know, Dan's not going to do the right thing. He's not in his right mind. So if I put that responsibility on me as your coach, we have a much better chance of Dan succeeding if he's got somebody in his corner that's with him throughout the entire journey. That's what U-Turn Health is.
Right. So is it all virtual, or do you have people like locally meeting up and doing activities? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So the primary program is virtual. So the videos are obviously all virtual. And then most of our contact with the coaches are, you know, cell phone calls, text messaging, voice calls, Zoom calls, that type of stuff. It's interesting to note that we started this as a nonprofit about 13 years ago. And at that time, it was all face to face. And this is well before COVID. And it was ironic that the actual participants in the program ask it to move virtual. It's easier. You don't have to drive across town. But what's more impressive about it is it's in the moment. Like, let me give you an example. Let's say that I'm trying to control my drinking or not drink at all. And I have a therapist appointment every Wednesday, which I go to, and I get some good stuff out of it. But then Friday night, my best friend has a wedding and I'm in the wedding and I got to go to the wedding. And I know everybody's going to be drinking like a lunatic. Is that therapist that I saw on Wednesday going to help me at 7:30 p.m. on Friday night when I'm walking to that wedding? No. But I, as the coach, I can text you as you're going into the wedding and say, hey, Dan, you got this, buddy. If you need me, call me. I'll check in with you in an hour. It's much more in the moment. I mean, I've been to many therapists in my life, and I think they're phenomenal at what they do. But they are there to handle specific issues. And a lot of times you go to your therapist and you have to sit in the parking lot and go, okay, what happened this week that I need to talk to my therapist about? Coaching's in the moment. It happens immediately. And that's really where the magic happens.
That's awesome. So in terms of, like you mentioned, it's like a not-for-profit. So how do you go about raising money and even spreading awareness for? Because I think, you know, it's a very amazing thing that you're doing. And I think you're really shaking things up. And I think it's a very positive thing. So how do you like reach more people and tell them that you even exist?
Yeah. So just a point of correction. We were a nonprofit. We're no longer a nonprofit.
Okay.
My co-founder, Rich Jones, started Faces and Voices of Recovery in Greenville, South Carolina about 13 years ago. And when I met Rich about 4 years ago, you know, when you have a nonprofit, you are limited by exactly what you said, how much money you can raise, what's your reach. And we said, look, if we really want to change the face of behavioral health, we have to commercialize this and we have to take it to the masses. So we sell it directly to employers. To help their employees. And there's a 100% return on investment because let me give you my example. When I was struggling with alcohol use, I was very successful at a company I worked for. I saw a therapist every week. I saw a psychiatrist every month. I was on tons of medication for, you know, mental health, stress, anxiety, stuff like that. And I used to see doctors all the time because I was always sick. Who do you think was paying those bills? The employer was paying the bills. The health insurance company was paying the bills. When I went and got sober, all of those costs went away. So if an employer invest in their employees and say, hey, look, we want a program that people are actually going to use, we're going to get people better faster, which ultimately lowers the cost of healthcare. So we sell it to employers. We work with trade unions. We work with brokers. We also have a huge reentry division. So helping people coming out of jail or prison, reintegrating into life in the community. Unfortunately, 80% of people that get locked up in this country struggle with either mental health or substance use disorder. And so we kind of fell into that, but it's been very rewarding to see how we've been able to help people reintegrate into life and become a very productive member of society.
Awesome. So what is the role of technology in your company?
Yeah, that's a great question. So technology is extremely important to us because it allows us to be more efficient and it allows us to reach more people. The platform that we've created, and I always call it Netflix for behavioral health because that's what it feels like. It's the largest collection of counselor-led videos on the planet. So the way you think about U-Turn, the platform is really, it's a place to normalize behavioral health. I'll be honest with you, Dan, when we started this, we didn't want to create the platform. What we found was is, and we do a lot of work with families as well. And what we found is almost overwhelmingly, every family we met with, we had to educate them. What is the neurobiology of addiction? And even the individuals, what is PTSD? What is trauma? Why is my loved one in treatment? All these different topics. And so to make ourselves more efficient, we went to the internet and tried to find some really good content that would help us. And you've probably figured out really quickly, I'm very blunt, it all sucked. It was either good content or really bad production value, or more importantly, it was this scared straight message that we've always had. Just say no to drugs. If you use, you're going to die. You know, it just didn't feel real to us. And so we said, you know what, we're going to have to do this ourselves. So our platform, there's no actors, there's no avatars, there's no cartoons. These are real people that have struggled and overcome. And we approach it in a manner that's non-threatening. Like, let me give you an example. The words addict and alcoholic, they've done tests on individuals. They've hooked them up to electrodes and they say words and they evaluate their physiological response. The words addict and alcoholic give off the same physiological response as the words murderer, rapist, and Hitler. So when I call you an addict, it does not feel good. You want to run the other way. So we don't use those words. It's very positive. It's very uplifting. And it's basically, we can get through this together type of feel. So technology is really important because I'm never going to be able to hire 10 million coaches. But if the we do a lot of groups on the platform. So if you're a family member and you want to go to a group of other family members that are struggling and have conversations and learn, you can do that through the technology. So it's extremely important to us now and even more in the future.
Yes, that's awesome. So speaking of future technology, obviously now is the age of AI, right? Yeah. So do you feel like there's use cases? I mean, like you mentioned, you know, just providing more information, for example, for family members. So maybe like AI to have conversations with family members and explain to them about what you're doing. Do you see certain use cases for AI when it comes to your business?
I absolutely do. I think we have to be careful. Like, what I will tell you is we will never lose the human touch at U-Turn Health. We can't, because this is really about human beings, and it's about, and that's really, you know, if you ask what's the overarching thing of U-Turn Health, is we treat people as human beings first. So I'm not going to treat you as a potential alcoholic. I'm going to treat you as a human, and we'll help you with whatever you need help with. So you've got to have that human touch. But where I see AI is, for instance, we can take our platform and we can put an AI engine on it to take all of the data from the video content and create a chatbot. So if I'm on the video content, I can ask a question. The chatbot can give some answers, but also there's always going to be that element, click a button and get to a human. So yeah, I think from an efficiency standpoint, I think that's great. You just have to make sure that the AI is right. I mean, I've been on some of these AI platforms and asked some questions, and the shit that comes back is just insane. So we just have to be very careful that you're putting the right information into the engine so you're getting the right information out of it.
100%. Yeah, there's all sorts of AI platforms. I think it's important, to your point, for it to be trained correctly on the machine learning. So it's answering questions in a way that it's supposed to answer them, not just spitting out random answers.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's funny. I went on an AI platform and I put in what is U-Turn Health, and they came back and said we were some company that did surgery on your brain or something like that. I'm like, well, that's not true. So again, I think if you audit it and make sure that the right information is going in, so the right information is coming out, I think there's definitely places that it can be used appropriately.
Awesome. So what do you think is the biggest challenge that you're facing right now in your business?
So I would say there's two things. I'll start with the easier one first. I think people, because a lot of what we've learned about this stuff comes from the movies and television shows, that people have a misperception of what these things are and how we need to go about helping people. I'll give you an example. I have daughters, so I don't have sons. So I always say, if my son got diagnosed with cancer, how many people would show up at my front door tonight with casseroles for my family, with desserts for my family, throwing their arms around me and making me feel better? What if my son got diagnosed with heroin addiction? How many people are coming over? So we still have some work to do on how people think about behavioral health. from that standpoint of a business. And hopefully that makes sense. It's you're taking people that care immensely about what they do, but you're putting business rules in to make sure that you're doing it effectively. You're measuring what you're doing. And it's almost like putting a square peg into a round hole. You have to be very careful around the way you do that. And that's been a little bit of a challenge, but which I think is why a lot of people haven't tried to do what we do. But we're on our way and we're doing really well. But that was one of our biggest challenges.
Awesome. So, like, what would you say is your top priority for the business in the next 3 to 6 months?
Oh my God, that's a great question. Well, our top priority is always to change the face of behavioral health. I mean, I want people to realize that there is a different way to approach this. And look, as a person that's been in recovery for 11 years, I think the recovery movement has sometimes done more harm than good, because it's always been very black and white. It's you're either in recovery, which means you don't use anything that alters your mind, or you're not. And my personal preference has changed a lot. Like, I choose not to drink anymore because I know drinking doesn't work for me. The question is 20 years earlier, when I was in the beginning stages of this, could I have course correct my behavior so I could drink like a normal person today? I think we need to be measuring more. Is instead of saying, has Dan not had a drink for 6 months, we should be saying, is Dan happy? Is Dan's family happy? Is Dan healthy? Is Dan's mind intact? And is Dan doing great at work? And so I think we have to look at things in a little bit of a different manner. And that's really what we're focused on. I mean, I can get into specific business goals and things of that, but as long as we're always trying to achieve that top mission, we're going to meet all of our business goals as we move forward.
Awesome. So what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
I think it would be intestinal fortitude. I don't think it would have changed. Look, this is really hard. Startups are very, very hard. I've been in healthcare for 30, 35 years. I always worked for established businesses and my job was to help grow them. And now the way I always describe this, and I know everybody on my team gets tired of hearing me say this, is we're trying to create the world's greatest airline. We've got two planes in the air flying, but they're both shaking like shit and half the seat belts on are, but we got passengers on board and the planes are shaking, but we're still saying we're going to build the world's greatest airline. So what we're trying to do is figure out why the plane is shaking, why we're flying it and keep building other airplanes. So it's exhausting. It's time consuming. I probably spend 80, 90 hours a week working, but it is a passion for me. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be doing it. And that's really, you just need to know when you go into something like this, if you have intestinal fortitude, if you keep your foot on the gas and you always remember the mission, you can get there. You can fight through all the challenges that you have, but don't walk into this, type of environment without knowing that it's going to be a challenge, without question.
100%. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for U-Turn Health?
Yeah, I think in a year, we will be considered probably the nation's premier reentry program for people getting out of jail or prison. And I also think by that time, one of the big wins that we've had recently is we signed a contract with a major health plan in the United States. And that was the aha moment for me, because when the actuaries at the payer, we all know managed care organizations, insurance companies, at the end of the day, it's all about risk. And if they see that if you pay for something like U-Turn Health and you're able to help people sooner, that there's actually a financial return on investment and all the payers start doing that, now we've started to really change the focus. And we won our first payer contract. It was 2.3 million lives. So basically what that means is any one of those individuals that has that health insurance is able to get U-Turn Health and the payer will pay for it. I would like to say in a year, we would have 3 or 4 national payers paying for this. And now we're in a very different area than we are today, I mean, it's already started, but I think that's going to pick up speed.
It's amazing. And we're rooting for you. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or just best way to get in contact with you?
Yeah, you guys, uturnhealth.com. It's Y-O-U. So you, like, it's your person, Y-O-U, turn, T-U-R-N, health.com. You can always Google my name, Hamilton Baden. You'll find me. My cell phone's on the internet. You can call me. You can go on uturnhealth.com and connect to us. And we would love to help anybody out there that is thinking about doing something for your employees that makes it better for you and everyone in your organization.
Awesome. Well, Hamilton, thank you so much for your time today. As I said earlier, I'm rooting for you. Hopefully you can reach more people, sign more contracts. It's a great mission. You know, what you're doing is incredible. So thank you so much.
Well, love it, dude. And thanks for having me. And let's do it again in a year and see if we actually achieved what we're trying to achieve. That'd be great.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.